David, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Oh, that's my pleasure. As I said, you saved me from a prolonged internal meeting. So I bless you for getting me out of those meetings before Parliament starts today.
Do appreciate your time. So New South Wales Labor leader Luke Foley has called for a cap on migration to Australia this morning. At this point, what's the New South Wales Greens policy looking like?
Well, we don't support that approach from Labor, this very insular approach, and indeed very, very, I think, ugly politics of linking the failure of state and federal governments to plan and properly plan for our cities and properly plan infrastructure and linking that failure to migration. Basically, dog whistling, I think, to many people in the community, that if you're stuck in a car jam, if you're stuck in a traffic jam or you're having trouble getting on your train, don't blame the politicians who have failed you. Blame migrants. And I think that's really ugly and dangerous politics. And I've got to say, I'm very surprised that somebody who notionally is from the left of the Labor Party, in the form of Luke Foley, is resorting to that level of politics.
And so I suppose then the issue is more poor planning than migration itself.
Well, undoubtedly. I mean, we saw a very long period of Labor administration in Sydney comprehensively fail to plan for infrastructure, We've now seen a prolonged period of a coalition government where their only plan for infrastructure seems to be private motorways, which aren't obviously going to come to grips with all of the infrastructure issues Sydney sees. And instead of owning up to their collective failure to invest in public transport, alternate transport, active transport links and good city planning, instead of owning up to their failure, they're now looking around for a scapegoat. And, you know, as we've seen tragically in Australia's past, these scapegoats that they're pulling out are people who have come to Australia from another country. And ugly stuff, actually really ugly stuff. And unless we sort of nip it in the bud, it has the potential to build into even more ugly stuff.
And it does seem like a dangerous territory to move towards. You know, campaigners for cuts to migration, Dick Smith as well, is sort of puts his name amongst those. They've been quick to stress they're not looking for cuts to migration on racial grounds. They don't care where the cuts come from, just as long as there are immigration cuts. How do you think the government could, I guess, you know, implement these cuts without, you know, God forbid, a repeat of something as extreme as the White Australia policy?
Well, you could cut the immigration intake and, you know, not link it to race. But the fact of the matter is, as soon as you have people out there actively identifying migration as the problem and migrants as the problem, well, that then leads to political, neighbourhood, local attacks on people of, you know, from migrant communities. And they suffer that in their daily lives and they're subject to those attacks in their daily lives. And in fact, you know, there was a Q&A panel that was talking about population and migration and Australia last night, and these people pontificating about migration. And shamefully for the ABC, you didn't see a single non-white face on a Q&A panel talking about migration and population in Australia. And I can't conceive of how that happens. How can you have a discussion about Australia's multicultural future without actively engaging those multicultural groups? And any answer you get is likely to be deeply, deeply misguided, particularly when you think of just how wonderfully multicultural places like Sydney are today.
Yeah, it does seem a bit questionable at best.
Amazing, wasn't it? You look at the panel, you think, has nobody done a sort of taken a step back and done a sort of, you know, check on this? Anyhow.
It's like one of those times where they always had the International Women's Day panels with all men.
Yeah, well, you know, men know best. white men know best, it turns out. Yeah,
There's the stipulation. So Dr. Ellen Charles-Edwards from the University of Queensland, she came out with this report saying that natural disasters like cyclones and floods, which, you know, do get pretty extreme in Australia, they're tipped to get even more intense because of climate change. More people and infrastructure will be affected. Do you think that there is a bit of a marriage between population and climate policies?
Oh, undoubtedly, there's the fact of climate change, the fact that we've already, because of the woeful inaction of our government and our other governments to date, there's already a degree of climate change worked into the system, and we're going to have to cope and mitigate, have mitigation strategies to deal with climate change. And then business as usual, unless we seriously grapple with how to address climate change and things like our planning system is going to lead to increased vulnerability going forward. But the answer to that isn't saying, well, you know, we might lose the wind stadium down in the Illawarra, or our vulnerable coastal assets, infrastructure are at risk from climate change. Therefore, we should have less migration. I don't join those dots together myself. I think you really need to sort of, that's a very artificial link. But undoubtedly, that report should be a wake-up call to every state and federal government to say, you need to start planning for climate change now. We have a private members bill, for example, in the New South Wales Parliament that says we should put climate change into the Planning Act, and we should make climate change mitigation, climate change awareness and reduction of greenhouse gases a key part of every single planning decision that we're making in New South Wales. And one of the reasons we put that bill forward is because so much infrastructure is being built and approved without even, you know, a cursory glance at climate change. And in fact, the phrase climate change doesn't even appear in the New South Wales Planning Act. So I think that's a wake-up call to do government better, to do planning better, to get rid of some of the vested interests. I don't see it as a wake-up call to say the problem is migration and migrants. It's just obviously not. It's crap government owned by corporate stakeholders.
And so I guess moving forward, do you think that is the best way to, tackle these issues, you know, policies regarding infrastructure and climate change before resorting to migration cuts?
We're part of we can't just sort of leave the planet. We're part of this planet. We're always going to be, you know, interconnected, and you would hope more and more interconnected with the rest of the planet. And the idea that we can just pull up our borders and somehow be magically immune from climate change, be magically immune from mass migration changes if we don't address climate change, or refugee movements if we don't address climate change, this is nuts. And this Dick Smith idea that we can, you know, have Fortress Australia and it'll all be sweet here while the rest of the world goes pear-shaped is so obviously wrong. And that you know, I'm surprised somebody with Dick Smith's history is so captured by that as the answer. The answer is actually getting things right in our own patch, making sure that Sydney can grow, but we, instead of building massive multi-billion dollar private motorways, we build massive publicly owned mass transport systems that get us around this city. Instead of building cookie cutter apartment blocks brought to you by which are all sold for $700,000 or $800,000 a pop, brought to you by the property developers, we actually start building much more human scale but dense parts of the city. And we have a large proportion of them set aside for affordable social and public housing. So when we actually build housing stock, people can actually afford to live there. And particularly as, you know, parts of Western Sydney are just going to get hotter and hotter, instead of chopping down all our trees and concreting over all our parks, we should be promoting green open space and going on a massive tree planting program across Western Sydney, which we know will reduce air pollution and reduce ambient temperatures and keep us all much safer in heatwaves. But there are real practical answers to this that the state government can do. So when Luke Foley, the leader of the opposition at a state level, instead of putting all those things on the table which will actually fix things, instead does his dog whistling and says the whole problem is a federal migration problem and therefore we can just do business as usual and have a crap city, that is a shameful lack of leadership.